This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes post-match phone-in on X or Twitter or whatever it's called these days.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. That was gutting, wasn't it? The quintessential roller coaster of a game, I think it's fair to say. Conceding in the first minute and conceding in the, 98th minute, whatever it was. Questions like where did all the extra time come from will obviously be put about. But let's have a look at it. What did we think? Obviously, Tom Cleverley's first defeat, a change of shape from the three at the back that defended so tremendously in the defensive unit against Ipswich and concedes inside of the minute with Porteous failing to stop the cross and the cross coming in, and then their scorer basically having three defenders either side of him and nobody picking it up. It looked like, obviously, at 2-0 it was going decidedly the wrong way. And then a bit of a rally, a real kind of determination to try to maybe crawl back into the game. And we're at 2-1. 2-2 looks like, if anybody's going to win that game, it looks like it's going to be us. But they come forward, as we know, goes out for the corner. And then obviously at the back post, Chakfetadze is out-muscled. Suggestions of a handball. Who knows, it might just be sour grapes. But let us know what you think tonight. Is it just, well, we were going to lose one eventually? But what do we make of Tom's six games so far? It nearly was a third Desmond 2-2, but it ends up becoming 3-2 to Southampton. So you let us know what you think. Obviously, gutting. And the commentators at the end came out and said, well, if that was next season in the Premiership, with the technical kind of slowing down and what have you, that might not be given because of a handball in the build-up. It's not. I still don't want to see VAR coming into the Championship. I don't know about you, but hey, as ever, this is about you guys letting us know what you think about the game. As I say, quintessential roller coaster, very down, then up, and then down again. But what do we make of the performance in between those kind of Southampton goals? What do we think about the shape change? Does it show we're very versatile? What does it show for Tom in that second half, going in and organising things? And seeming to be good at that in that second half and looking far more productive with, I would suggest, a far lesser squad. But still, it comes down to being good in both boxes. So let us know what you think. As ever, do hit request and let us know if anybody wants to come on. So far, it looks like everybody's licking their wounds and going, no, Pete, I don't want to come on. Yeah, fair enough. That's entirely down to you. We'll be going to five-word reviews in about 20 seconds, if that's the case, but never mind. Yeah, it's a sickener. It's a sickener, isn't it? But there we go. I did, let me just get across to it, actually. There was a press conference yesterday, and Tom was basically asked about the defending and what he was going to do, because he did bring on five substitutes. He did say over the course of his press conference that he was going to have to use the squad. And then he only made the one material change, which was Andrews out and Dennis in. Did that work? Didn't it? You be the judge. You let me know. Oh, wow, we've suddenly got loads of people requesting to come in. Brilliant stuff, brilliant stuff. I'll play you that press conference in a minute or a couple of minutes of it, just so you can see. But first of all, let's get Justin in and see how Justin is reacting to the last minute defeat that sees the top of the table become very exciting. I don't know if you're as not bothered about that as I am, Justin, but there we are. Justin, how are you feeling after sour grapes at the end?
Well, it is a bit of sour grapes, really, isn't it? Because where did that time come from? And it looked like it was 7 minutes added on, and they scored in the 98th minute.
Yep.
99th. So, yeah, that seems to be a bit next goal wins. But I think we gave a good account of ourselves, really, because we were 2-0 down after no time at all, and it looked like it was going to be 5-0. So to come back and get two goals is something, and that does feel a little bit like a point taken away from us there, because I think I had, in my mind, settled for a 2-2 draw there, and I thought, oh, we're going to be talking about a good comeback there, and right at the end it happens. So, yeah, it's football. It doesn't really mean much to us anyway, because we are where we are. We didn't really have anything on the game. It means more to Southampton, I think. But yeah. There you go. It's just one of those games, isn't it? Talking of Southampton, I've seen Rich WFC just requested to speak.
I have just added him in because, for anybody who didn't know it, Rich has been, and we want to find out about it, cruising and looking at the fjords and came back into Southampton about 6 o'clock this morning or some such. Rich, let's immediately ignore what's going on at St Mary's and turn to Scandinavia and cruising. How was your week?
It was magnificent. I didn't quite find the new Erling Haaland for us. I did have a look around up the mountains and seeing if there's anyone fancy to kick about. And just one or two of the centre forwards we got, probably not a lot better than what I saw on the mountains. But anyway, that's not for today. Yes, we had a wonderful time. Thank you. Yes, arrived into Southampton nice and early. And yeah, I was home nice and early too. But yeah, it's been a long day.
Have you booked your next one yet, mate? When you get off?
It's a tough one, being our first ever, so it was nice. Yeah, we had a wonderful time. They certainly know how to entertain us, but you don't all on here don't want to hear about my nice week, but it was very enjoyable. And I didn't really keep in touch too much with what was going on over the last week. I sound like I missed a cracker at Preston at home last Saturday, as I was travelling, and then on Wednesday I was in the middle of nowhere, so I had no idea what was going on, but saw we got a creditable draw. So I turn on today to see what's going to happen. And again, I wouldn't normally share private messages, but as you probably know, Southampton is a game I always look for because my dear boss is a Southampton fan. And this is how streaming can really frustrate you, because literally, I think it's 16:56. He messages me this, and I literally quote it. "So frustrating for Saints once again. Our third goal was never offside, but you've been the better team in the second half. Once teams learn to close us down, we crumble. Every bloody game. So frustrating." And I'm going, hang on, is the game over? I'm scrolling up and down. I'm actually watching it, but of course, you know what streams are like. You think the game's over. And I'm watching it, and the ball goes over, and the bloke gets the ball, and he handballs it, and it goes into the net. And I'm thinking, well, the ref's given the goal. What's my boss going on about? And then he literally messaged me, "Spoke too soon, sorry." And that's my afternoon in a nutshell for football. Oh, my goodness, how frustrating is that? I'm thinking we've got, as we like to call it, a Desmond, and we've actually gone and lost the game. So a quick appraisal of the game. What have I seen today? Well, let's face it, we've given three goals away, honestly, and you're going to Southampton, who are trying to get promoted, you just can't do that, can you? And let's quickly dwell on the negatives, because I don't dwell on them too much, and I'll go on the positives, because there was plenty of them. The first goal's a joke. Mr. Batman watches the ball come over, and he's actually behind his own line when the ball goes into the back of the net. Come off your line, punch the ball clear, cut it long, and Lewis has watched him go. We've given him a goal. The second goal, well, what is Deli Bashiri doing? To be honest, he had a horrific first half. That was one of the worst performances I've seen all season. And I like him, and I know he's been playing well. Part of me says, is he unwell or something? Because he was so appalling, and no surprise. And the pleasing thing, and this is where I come on to the positives, is Tom is seeing, I think, what a lot of us are seeing. And he hooked him at half time, and he was absolutely correct in doing that. And there's spirit in this Watford team. And most way through this game, I'm thinking, well, it's 2-1. If anyone's going to score, as my boss has just said, it was going to be Watford. And it was a lovely goal. And yet Kone, I don't think, touched the ball in any sort of positiveness. Or he was having a terrible game as well, to be fair. Let's be frank. If you watch the game back, I'm thinking, what's he doing? And then suddenly, majestically, he gets the ball, he moves forward, and he literally places it into the corner. You think, my God, football's a funny old game. And lovely goal. And then we somehow just somehow managed to lose the game. I think we were cheated out of the game at the end. We didn't deserve to lose that game. And I'm sitting here halfway through and I'm scratching my head and I'm thinking, Tom Cleverley, if we got something a little bit special here that we haven't really unlocked yet, and time will tell, is this guy somebody that we need to make and keep very careful? Because if he leaves Watford, he's going to go on and be a very good manager. And it's just something there. I can't quite put my finger on it. And I could be getting a little bit, so I don't get too excitable over Watford managers. You'd be a bit insane if you did that. Let's face it.
Once every 3 months is a bit too much to get excited, isn't it?
Exactly. But there's something about Tom that he's, I just think it's because he's so fresh from playing the game. He's from the modern era. He knows what football's all about at this level now, both levels, that and the next one up. He's only literally just hung his boots up. He knows what the modern day dressing room's like. And whatever we say, the players are playing for themselves, playing for him. And I can't fault that. We kept going forward today. Okay, we're behind, so it's always difficult to judge, but we kept going forward. I enjoyed the game. I was rooted and watching the game, and I'm tired. Trust me, I haven't had much sleep and too much alcohol over the last 24, 48 hours particularly. So it kept me enthralled. It kept me focused and enjoying the game. And I thought, yeah, fair play. And I felt disappointed for the players today, although they do have one or two players. But my only red mark on Tom is that he keeps playing Backman, and I think he's made a ricket there, and I think he's cost us the game again. Or part of the reason that we've lost the game today is he's not a great goalkeeper, and he got lucky with a little foul with his stupid miss kick he was very lucky to get a foul for that, because that was, well, in the middle of the park, that ain't a foul in my opinion. But anyway, I'm not going to talk the negative.
No, I think that bears what we barely call analysis here, obviously. Yeah. We leave that to others and betters later on. But
yeah,
he had made that bad touch, and then he had made up with it to try to get to it before, I think it was Fraser came in and crumpled, or whoever. And he was lucky that he got challenged in the way that he did to get it blown up. Otherwise, it would have been, a lot of people would have been looking at. However, this is why we are here. We're here to hear what people think.
Yeah. You
know, whether or not they've been working hard, or if they've been swanning around looking for another Erling Haaland on the fuel.
And I will give a little bit of a, because I know he gets a lot of stick, particularly from our friend over in Florida. But I thought that second, whatever 20, 25 minutes he had, James Morris, when he came on, I thought, looked to go forward. He looked positive. He looked to get crosses into the box. And full credit to the lad today. I thought he did a really decent little cameo when he came on. And Lewis ain't going to be there next season. Let's face it, he's not a contracted player of Watford. And I'm not saying for 1 minute that James Moyes is the answer, but credit where credit's due today. He did very well when he came on, and fair play to him. And I'm pleased for him. And there was some good, I thought the defence was decent in the main. We just give silly goals away at this level. And if we can just stop that, and find a little bit more up front, something that's not Bayo, that's not Rarovic, that somehow is a mishmash of whatever their best qualities are. She's goal-hanging and Bayo's enthusiasm and running. If we can find that, I know they're a lot of money and everybody wants them, then there's something to build on. And the players are definitely playing for Tom Cleverley, and it's very interesting to see. And I know we mentioned about Jimmy Gilligan as well being on the bench. And was he going to be part of it? But is he going to be? Do you know what? I don't know if you carried on watching to the end of the stream.
Is this him clearing everybody away from the ref and then having to go at himself?
Absolutely.
It was great, wasn't it?
Great. And that to me says there's a man who cares, because, and he weren't happy. And he was, all of us at that moment, wanting to go to the referee and tell him what we thought of him. And to see Jimmy Gilligan doing that is a really good sign, because he's a top man all the way through the club. And we know his credentials. Most of us oldies particularly don't need telling. And to see him go up and do that, he could have easily gone down the tunnel and say, yeah, I'm just doing my job. He weren't happy. And I'm delighted with that. And I just got a funny, I've just got a nagging thing about him in my gut at the minute, that Tom might just be a special manager. And we need to be very careful how we judge it. Is he going to, do we face losing him and him going and taking a few staff and going on to be a very good coach? Or have we got something about us to say, have we recognised this now? I know he's not winning games, but we're not losing them, and we're not negative, and we're playing football that's half decent, and it's keeping me engaged. Where most of the season, I've got off a cruise ship in Southampton, I couldn't make the game today, for that reason, because my wife wants to get home, and I fully understand that. And most of this season, I wouldn't have gone in my back garden to watch Watford, let alone go to Saturday. If I see more performances and more effort and the way the players are playing for Tom, I'll go anywhere and watch them. So fair play. I'm disappointed. They didn't deserve that today. That was a credible performance. And let's hope we put one in. Let's suddenly sort this bloody home form out next Saturday when we get, it is next Saturday, I'm assuming. Looked again. Apologies. I'm still half drunk.
We've got, well done on both of those. Yeah, we've got Hull City next Saturday.
That's what I thought. Then
obviously Sunderland before the away finale at Middlesbrough. And I say finale very much in the other end of the country. So let's move the game till 12:30, kind of sense of the word.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that'd be an easy one, wouldn't it? First of all, welcome back. Secondly, go and sober up at some point, not necessarily today.
Hey, with the dog tonight, I think.
Yeah. Exactly. Excellent stuff. And welcome back to watch What Fjord.
You've been trying that one all week, haven't
you? That don't work. Don't encourage him.
Justin, don't stop having a go at my witticisms. They're very popular, I'm sure, or maybe not, I don't know. Anyway, let's get Charlie in. Charlie, sir, how you doing?
Hello, mate. Hello, fans. How are we all?
I'm all right. Thank you very much indeed. My headphones are playing up a minute for there we go. Anyway, so come on, mate, what did you make of things, well, this week and today? Because, of course, there was Ipswich. We haven't spoken to you since then.
Yeah, well, today I thought we got what we deserved. I'm sorry. We were piss poor at the back. Just didn't look ready, obviously, from the start. Gave away that stupid early goal. And it looked like Sunday League defending in the first. I mean, the second goal, I just laughed. It was just like bloody ping pong ball and the utter clowns, a lot of them at the back. Why did cleverly change the shape? If it's not broke, don't fix it. Okay.
At 2-0 down. No, mate, absolutely. At 2-0 down, and obviously everybody's going, oh, for crying out loud, absolutely. I'm asking that exact same question because the three look so comfortable in that three against Ipswich. And the goals, those two goals came because we were clearly, is it you, is it me, where does it go? And all of the kind of unification that we'd had from playing three at the back for a little while, now playing different shapes because you're going to accommodate it, that's fine if you're giving yourself time to do it. But we are playing Ipswich and playing Southampton, two teams who like to keep the ball. I was really expecting to see us turn up and just take the same shape. It doesn't sound like I was on my own in that.
No, exactly. And as Rich said, his friend, I'm no Jose Mourinho. I've clocked Southampton a couple of times. They don't like being pressed. And I was rubbing my hands together before the game, thinking we could have a go at Mir because all the top teams are jittering about at the moment. I mean, we've seen, I don't know, I think Ipswich may have got a point in the end today, but they struggled at home today. And like I said to you, mate, it was just piss poor. Even the third goal, okay, it was handball, but we shouldn't be conceding corners and giving silly free kicks away in the last couple of seconds when you know that the home side are trying desperately to get that winner. And I could almost predict it was going to happen. And okay, give them a bit of credit. We got back to 2-2. Was that because Southampton were trying to hold on to a 2-1 lead? I think so. I think if they'd have come forward and knocked the ball about like we know they can, I think they could have scored another couple of goals. Maybe I'm watching a different game. I don't know, but it's just so frustrating. There's been games, obviously, the Leeds game at home where we could have won and we didn't, and fair play for that. We played well and we took it to them. But today, it was a very strange game. And let's be honest about it. People are going to come on here and whinge about the 7 minutes of injury time. If we'd have won that game 3-2 in the last minute, we'd all been saying, oh, yeah, there was definitely 7 minutes.
I hate
coming on here being negative, but like I said, mate, when I looked at the formation, I thought, that's a bit odd. And then when you concede a goal in the first, minute and a half, I just put my head in my hands, like, here we effing well go again. The second goal, as I said, was just a comedy of errors. And the other thing that maybe thumped the table was when Rajovic done one of his long throws and decided to fucking throw it back to the goalkeeper. It was a joke. And Lewis, why is that boy still playing? I'd rather have Morris starting every week. I don't know if anyone picked up on it, but there was an incident in the, I think it was the first half, where Lewis tried to play literally a pass 5 yards away from him and he couldn't find the player who was unmarked and he kicked it out for a bloody throw-in. It's just ludicrous. That boy needs to just be shoved in on the bench, get Morris in to try and get him ready for next season, because I can't see us bringing in some decent quality next season. I think we all know we're in financial trouble. So why not just try and develop a young lad of our own, kick Lewis into touch, say thank you very much, but you're shite, and move on from there.
We're going to put Charlie in front of customer relations. I love that. Sorry, but you're shy. No, I love it. I love it.
Sometimes you just got to be brutally honest in life. And Lewis, he's had a couple of moments in games where he's been all right. But overall, that boy has been absolute shite. And someone needs to sit him down and tell him to give up football or to go and play non-league and get himself a part-time job, and hopefully some other gullible club will come in and buy him in a year or so when he learns how to pass the ball 5 yards, because I just don't see any quality in him, Peter. He can't even cross the bloody ball.
Fair enough. No, I don't disagree, but others obviously have called out about Morris before, as, and we've said, well, he's a contingency. Is he good enough to step up and be the main one, or do we need somebody else to come in? Because you're absolutely right. Lewis will be going back to Newcastle, I'm sure. I'm sure we're not going to exercise any option to take him. Bloody hell.
Well, I know that too, Lou, Peter. Bloody hell. You never know with this club anymore. I'm sure, I'm not going to mention the name, but I'm sure Uncle Ron will be coming on here discussing his disapproval. I don't know if it's actually been confirmed yet, but apparently Ngakoue has had his contract extended now, if that's happened.
We all saw the thing that came out on the FA stuff around the agency payments and transactions. And on the list of the transactions was for Jeremy Ngakoue, there was a payment to an agent for basically a contract. Was it alteration, modification, or extension? I can't remember which one it said, but it was clearly, it looked like that was it. We'd heard from, I think it was Adam Leventhal in The Athletic previously, that he'd had it extended. We've talked about it on here and said, well, one hopes that was going to be either a pay-as-you-play or a low basic with an enhancement variable, kind of bonus, if you will, for appearance and for targets achieved. Because he has struggled with fitness for the last few years, and it is an odd one to have decided to depended or to go, okay, we're going to go with that. One can only imagine that it's financially advantageous for the club to have decided to do it. But of course, it doesn't really matter what you're paying somebody. If they're not turning up, not available for you, it is money down the drain. And of course, we see Andrews, who I think it's fair to say has had a good season so far, but the lad looks a little bit tired. I'm not surprised at the end of his first professional season. And he's dropped to the bench today. We got told that I think he got a knock in the Ipswich game. So that might be the reason we had the change of shape. We didn't have a right back. So it forces Porteous out there. I think defensively, as you said, had a shocking first 20 minutes, but then the goal gave him something solid and he improved. And we looked, ironically, much better once Andrews and once Tom had made a number of changes and we'd seen Porteous kind of settle in at the back there. We looked a lot more comfortable, surprisingly, with a right back at right back until, of course, the goal goes in. But no, you're quite right. And you're quite right about the injury time. We can moan about it. We can talk about the handball, etc. But you're right, it is about game management at the end of the day, and we do have to look to ourselves. But what are your thoughts on Tom so far? Because a lot of people will look at it and go, the previous two alls, we've surrendered leads in. We've got back into one here, but obviously surrendered the goal at the end. What are your thoughts in terms of Tom overall, in terms of his game so far that we've seen him this season?
Yeah, well, just before I answer that, Pete, just one other thing I think people need to at least think about is I heard on another space that apparently Watford is up there in the top three or four that have paid out the most money to football agents in the Championship.
It is. It's in fourth place, absolutely.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind that myself if that reflected as to quality on the pitch, but we'll shelve that for now. Tom Cleverley, I said from day one when they appointed him that I think that was the sensible approach, whether it be just till the end of the season or not. My worry is if Tom doesn't get the job at the end of the season full time, I can't see him taking a backward step within the club.
Yeah.
And I think there will be other clubs, whether it be lower down the league or another Championship team, that may see potential in him, because he's not got a lot wrong. Let's put it that way. It's slightly better than Val, although that wasn't hard. Even I could have done better than Val, but it's been slightly better. It has been more enjoyable. Yeah. Take the frustrations away from it. I was actually on the edge of my seat again today watching it, which I haven't been able to do much from under Val. Do I want him to get the job full-time? I think the answer is, who else is there for me? Realistically, with this crop of players and with, God forbid, what they're going to bring in next year, I don't even want to think about the transfer window, but who is there out there realistically that A, would want to come to Watford at the moment, and B, be able to do anything with the team? So whether he gets it or not, I wouldn't be that bothered. I would stick behind Tom, because I don't think it's now any manager's fault as to what happens on the pitch. there's only so many ways you can play a bad hand of poker, and that's what we're doing. We haven't got the best team, nowhere near in the league. It's probably the worst Pozzo team we've had. I can't think of another team that we've had in the Pozzo era that's been this dire. So give it to Tom. Let's get behind Tom. He's been a great servant to the club. I'd rather have someone within the club that clearly cares and has got a bit of history with us than some random Albanian who's been in the Albanian third league, won the Goat Herders trophy or something. Yeah, give it to Tom, see how he gets on, give him a season, and let's try and stick with him, get behind him.
Wonderful stuff. Other football leagues, of course, are available. We've already ticked off the Georgian one, so on that kind of thing where we tick off Albania, we haven't yet had. Charlie, thank you, sir. Thank you very much indeed. Lovely stuff. Well, look, there's two callers there who are suggesting that maybe we need to get Tom because other people might come in and go, well, he's doing all right there. Let's have a look. And also the fact that he hasn't actually done anything wrong, and this debate has been going on, and everybody's also saying, or lots of people are also saying, well, wait until the end of this run and wait of games that he's got, and then we can make a judgment. No one's right, nobody's wrong. It's just a question of kind of what we all think.
Hi, this is Gifted Noel Williams, and you're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's get Mike Duffy in from Voices of the Vic. Let's see what Mike made of today's topsy-turvy game at St Mary's. What did you make of it, Mike?
Yeah, it was frustrating, wasn't it? It's much like your two callers have already had. When we went 2-0 down, you're thinking, right, this is where it starts to get a bit hairy for Tom. And he's done a good job so far in the previous five games that he's had. And in our group chat this morning, I was saying I think Southampton might be a stretch too far and I think they might give us a bit of a spanking. And it was certainly looking that way. Like I say, 2-0, and we didn't really look into it. But what the way we reacted was incredible. I think we said earlier in the season, in certain spells under Val, that we saw a different type of fight in us, and that last season we would have gone on to lose. And not to get all repetitive, but I genuinely think last season, in the circumstances in today's game, we could have been on the end of a bit of a cricket score, to be honest. It seemed like Southampton playing so well at home, and it definitely in the mix for automatics because of the games in hand that they've got. But I thought we showed real good fight and character to come back to 2-2. And I got no grumbles about the time added on, because a lot of people seem to forget that when that board goes up, it's a minimum of those minutes. So, yes, it was the 99th or 98th minute, but it was a minimum of 7. So I've got no grumble about that. But my grumble is, was it Rajovic that gave away the free kick?
It was.
No need to do it. He's going nowhere. Like, I understand he was outside the box, but just it's such a stupid thing to do. And obviously, it comes from the corner. I didn't actually know it was handball, because as soon as the goal went in, I switched the TV off, so I didn't see any replays or anything. But it's a sucker punch, and yes, we were losing at the start, and you probably would have said that Southampton were they were the favourites for the game, but the manner in which we lost it, I think, is what hurts me the most. It's a real sucker punch, and I think that's almost credit to Watford, because I shouldn't really be asked about this result, because we're mid-table, we're not going up, we're not going down. But the fight that Tom's installed into the team recently shows that he's brought a bit of passion and fight back for the badge, which is all we've ever wanted, to be honest.
Very good. No, very good. There's an interesting, if anybody takes a look at the BBC report, there's quite an interesting shot because of the final goal. And it's taken from the left, from Backman's left post, looking across at Flynn Downes, who's just about to put the ball in the back of the net. And what's interesting is Andrews is already with his arm in the air because of the handball in the build-up. Now, we all know this is not the Premier League. We don't go back and ruin everybody's entertainment to pour all over it. And that's just, them's are just the breaks. That's just what happens. And as Charlie just said, if it'd gone the other way, we wouldn't have worried about it at all. Quite right. You're absolutely right. It's what happens. Yes, it's a gutting. Yes, it's absolutely gutting. But you're completely correct in that we saw some spirit and some fight back and to come back. But equally, there will be people who are saying, but is that how far our expectations have fallen over the last 3 to 4 to 5 seasons since the 2019 FA Cup, that we're searching for little nuggets of enthusiasm rather than actually taking a look at the game? Because as you said, no way should he have given that free kick away. It's about game management. It's about being turned on and tuned in. Are we just too considerate? Or do you think that those people who are looking at things in a more, what's the phrase I'm looking for, with a more critical eye, I think it's fair to say, or do you think they are just looking at it too critically?
I think it's a tough one. Look, how many clubs do we know that have been up there before and gone on a massive downfall? And Portsmouth had the chance today just on a club that winning the FA Cup and then going on a downward spiral, and that's where you said it started for us.
Yeah.
They could have come back up today, but I think they drew, so they didn't. But I think we have to be realistic. I might get shot down here by some of your next callers, but if we're being honest with ourselves, those 5 consecutive seasons we had in the Premier League, every one of those seasons we were tipped to go down, and we were punching above our weight, and we were doing a bloody good job at it for most of the time. I think Mazzari season we only just about stayed up, and then the other seasons we were comfortable, and obviously, like you say, we got to an FA Cup final, narrowly missed out on Europe. But on the whole, certainly with me growing up, Watford have always been a mid-table sort of Championship side. Yep. So I think recently those expectations have been higher because of where we've been in previous years. But and again, obviously I want Watford to play in the best league in the world, which is the Premier League. At the moment, we are probably where a lot of people would expect us to be, because we are quite a small team and we're on the border of London. We've got a lot of bigger clubs around us, which unfortunately we lose a lot of fans to. And you often see kids wearing Arsenal, Chelsea, memorabilia stuff to games. And it is how it is. So I think recently we need to turn our expectations down a little bit, because we're not that club that we were when the Pozzos first come in. Because I think football's moved on and they were great at the start, but the Pozzos have stood still. So it's frustrating, but this is how it is at the moment until we get some investment and hopefully a bit of a kick up the arse.
Very good. Very good. So what have you got planned for Voices of the Vic now and going into the final 3 games of the season? Post-mortem of this, no doubt. Mm. But anything planned for end-of-season celebrations?
Yeah, well, we still haven't had our Christmas do, so we might try and fix in Christmas do / end of season do. So I think that's as much as we've got to look forward to. But I just want to say as well, big shout out to Cam, who tomorrow with our dad is doing the Reading Half Marathon. So we won't be appearing tomorrow on YouTube or Facebook, but we'll probably be back on Monday, and because Joe and Cam are at the game today. Other than that, I think just the usual previews and post-mortems, as you say.
Lovely stuff. Well, good luck, Cam, and indeed, good luck, Dad. I don't really think I should call him Dad, but I'm going to. Good luck, Dad. So we'll see how things go. But there's Mr. Duffy. Thank you very much, mate. Hope you are keeping well.
Cheers,
mate. Lovely stuff. Let's get across to Wendover, who is probably somewhere just outside of Southampton. Then I'm coming across to Zlatan BKJ, and then I'm coming across to John Parslow. Greg, I presume you're doing the normal dance of trying to get away from St Mary's, which normally involves sitting in traffic for about an hour, enjoying the views of Southampton.
No, I park relatively well, so I'm near the M27 now.
Nicely done. Yeah. Oh, speaking about nicely done, let's not talk about the first or the last minutes, but other than that, come on in. What did you make of today?
Well, I'm going to be a bit X-rated this evening. Ooh,
sit back, everybody. Here we go. Get ready.
Thank you for Mike Duffy to come in on and talking some sense prior to one of the earlier calls being negative from his sofa. I was actually in the ground today, sat on the sofa.
Well, hold on, Greg. I'm sat here. I haven't gone to a game all season away from home. I've gone to all of the games at home. That doesn't alter the perception of the game or what has gone on. Let's hear what your opinion is of the game. Hold on. Let's hear your opinion of the game rather than your opinion of other people's opinions, because too many people are too happy to criticise other people's opinions. I really want to hear what your opinion is of the game. You are a fantastic supporter. Well done.
And too many people are too keen to slag the club off when they don't know the full story, like the Jeremy Ngakia contract situation. They don't know the full story. They don't know that he was on a large contract, and this contract has been arranged at much reduced wages with a play-per-performance incentive within it. And it's likely next season to be third choice anyway. So that's by the by. But let's go on today. I'm so angry. That last goal. I don't know where they got 7 minutes from in the first place. Yeah, there was a lot of substitutions, but they were largely all done at the same time, multiple subs at the same time. So, A, I don't, and there wasn't a lot of, if I got the wrong way.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, I don't know where he got seven from to start with. Secondly, it wasn't a corner. I didn't think it was a corner anyway. I think the guy, it came straight off the Southampton player. And thirdly, it was a bloody handball. And you don't need an action replay to tell you it was a handball. We could all see it with our naked eyes that it was a handball. Just people hate VAR. But that's what VAR is for, and VAR should be in the Championship. And if you've got VAR technology within your grounds, like we have and like Southampton have, it should be used, because that would be chalked off. That's what VAR is for. It's for clear and obvious mistakes, and that was a clear and obvious mistake, and we've been robbed. They're not going up. They're shit. They are shit. They can't defend.
Has anyone got any advice for Greg? If anyone checked your blood pressure, mate, good Lord. Yeah.
He's driving the wrong way. He's adding VAR into the Championship. Yeah. Well done, Greg. This is why we like this.
But they're shit. They can't defend. They won't go up. We saw that they've won the bloody playoff final. But that's by the by. I thought first 15 we were poor, but I thought we really came into it today and really showed a good spirit, got behind the badge, got behind Tom, and I thought we were not magnificent, but I think we did very well. And to slag them off is criminal, to be honest. Criminal.
Well, I think the point is that the management of the game at the end, your points about the referee are fine, and we hear everybody's points and opinion, and ideally on the game rather than everybody else's opinion of everybody else's opinion. Because you know what? Opinions are like arseholes. Everybody's got one, and nobody particularly wants to smell somebody else's. But here we come and we ask for it. So Charlie and Rich and Mike and yourself, you come on, and I appreciate you guys for coming on and sticking your head above the parapet, because there is always going to be somebody who comes on and says, oh, that person said this and I disagree with them. Well, well done. Come on, say what you think. That's absolutely fine. We will always defend everybody's opportunity to come and say, for good or for bad, either way, it really doesn't matter. If it's your opinion, that's the most important thing. My question to you, Greg, we played, obviously, the game on Wednesday night and played three at the back. We played a 3-4-1-2 or a 3-5-2, however you like to call it. We finished that game on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. We kick off at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Did we give ourselves, or did Tom give the team enough time to work with them on the change of shape? Bearing in mind that first 15 minutes, it took a long time to, not for a long time, it took some time to bed in. Was that a change?
We've lost you, Pete. Pete, you've gone quiet. Can anybody else hear Peter? Is it just me?
No, I can hear you, Justin.
Hello?
Yeah, we lost you for about 3 seconds there, Pete, yeah.
Oh, am I back?
You are now, yes.
Okay, yeah. So my question is, literally, did we not give ourselves enough time to work with the shape, or was it just unfortunate?
Well, the problem was probably forced on him, because Ryan wasn't fit to do 90 minutes, I understand. He had some sort of knock. So it was obviously forced on him to change to play Porto in there. I wonder why Albert Eames wasn't given a go, because I understand that he's very good. But that's obviously why it was, because Andrews had a knock.
Great question there about Eames. The fact that, obviously, as you say, our probably most regular right back, certainly of late, had taken a knock, so he wasn't going to make the most. Does that not bear out why people are asking about the Ngakoue extension. Possibly, and a lot of people have said the club have not confirmed it one way or another. It's come from The Athletic and Adam Leventhal, and it's come from the FA piece, which did confirm the agent transactions, which included that, and also a total figure. It didn't break it down by transaction. But can you see why, therefore, people looked at that and went, well, Ngakoue, whatever he's being paid, if he's not available, then it's not delivering what we need.
Does it really matter in the fullness of time? Do some fans want Gino to tell them every time he goes to the toilet? It's not that important.
Well, it does matter, Greg, when you come on and you criticise other people, when you criticise other people and say, and they don't even know what's going on. Because either you ask the club to confirm what's going on, or you do have to accept that people don't know, and those people are saying, what's the situation? And I do agree absolutely about your case about Eames, because he's supposed to be very highly rated.
I criticise other people because sometimes the club cannot win. Whatever they do, they cannot win, and they're going to get criticised. This is a rebuilding process. Everything goes in cycles. We've had some great years under Gino. We've had some great years. But now we are in a rebuild. I remember watching bloody Devon White play for this football club. Now, it's not as bad as that. Raj versus Devon White. It's close, I guess.
Rajovic versus Devon White. Now, there is a contest.
You've been through some rough days, Pete. We've all been through. Things go in cycles. Mike Duffy is quite right. We are a small town with the population of whatever we have. We border London. The competition is very competitive. And if you listen to the great man, around where we are is about our level, and we're actually punching over our weight at the level we are. We will get better. This will improve. We will find some nuggets to polish. But it's going to take time.
Lovely stuff. I love the fact that we have people with differing opinions. The only thing I ask for, as ever, is don't worry about the fact that somebody else's opinion differs from you. And I ask that of you, and I ask that of people who have differing opinions. Because, as I say, opinions, everybody's got one.
At the end of the day, if you feed somebody fillet steak every day, like they had in the Premier League, they expect
this is good
it.
Going.
Well, I'm afraid that isn't reality. Reality isn't fillet steak every day, unless you're the top six.
So if fillet steak was in the Premier League, what are we currently being served?
Oh, we're not having fillet steak, are we? We're probably having Angus beef burgers at the moment. But it will get better, Pete. It will get better. Just bear with it. That's what there's a funny word. The clue's in the word support. We're supporters of Watford. Support. There's a clue within the word.
There you go. There is Greg's request that everybody should be supporting Watford, whether they be serving steak or indeed Aldi. I think it was Angus beef burger. Was that what it was, Justin? I think it was something like that. That was good. Right. Let's get Mr. Parslow on then. And then we will come to Alex King. Then we're going to be coming to Alan. Then we're going to be coming to Uncle Ron. Then we're going to be coming to Kev. Oh, dear. Sorry about that, everybody. Right, Mr. Parslow, sir, hit your mute button and let us know if you are walking Bailey across Chorleywood Common or indeed elsewhere.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hiya. We're good.
Okay, so, I just want to come along and say hello because I think it's been, for me, one of those weird games days where everything seemed to start off really badly and then end up, well, I thought it was all going to be perfect. So just to give you some context, I normally do a park run in the morning, so I cycled down to that and my leg was killing me for some reason on my bike, but then I was able to run the park run. Started off the Grand National and Paul Fiander Turner did a sweepstake and the horse he gave me fell at the first fence. But then the one I actually backed won, so it was all good. And then, of course, we started today's game as badly as my horse and my first bit of my journey for the run this morning. And then I thought it was going to be, as Greg nearly said, magnificent, and then we lost. However, on today's game, I'm just going to forget that third goal, right? My point of view on today's game was the same as a few people have said. It was just like the change of shape, and we talked about it a bit offline and stuff, but it was like, oh, we don't quite seem to know what we're doing. It affected some of the players because Tom Bellisciro was having a bad game when he'd been looking brilliant. So it definitely affected them. But then what really pleased me, and I'm glad Rich has had quite a few drinks on his trip, and I think you should do lots of trips. Rich is like super positive. But just from then on, I loved the game. I loved the way we played. I was really enjoying it. Even when we're going to lose this 2-1, right? I was going, this has been a really good grown-up performance that is like, am I right in saying this is the first time we've gone behind in a game under Tom? Sorry, is that right?
Let me think. I think it is. Because a number of people pointed out the fact that we had been in front and let lead slip. So, yeah.
Yeah. So then it was 1-0 down for Oldbourne. And then I thought, okay, we're starting to get a grip on the. And then it went 2-0 down. Well, shit. Okay. To then come back and I think everybody's going, oh, with Southampton on the back foot a little bit. I don't see it like that. I think we stopped them and then we took control and we were playing really well. There was so much interesting, good stuff going on. The desire not to lose, not to do that. Yes, yeah, we lost in the 97th minute, which was bizarre. To be honest, I didn't think Rich fouled. I thought it was the other way. And then, but you can argue all those things, right, and stuff. And I was just like, I was more gutted for the away fans who went today, who were magnificent. And I suspect what Wendover's reaction to everything is, I bet when you speak to other fans who were there, I suspect they all absolutely loved it today, right? And they just feel really disappointed they didn't win. But it's one of those games in that maybe again is just, this is an audition for Tom. My view is, I think I was joking before, like give it to tomorrow, which was always like meant, let's just wait till the end of the season. But, but if that was his audition today, I would say he's come through that with flying colours, honestly, because he's got adversity with the squad and he's made a change. Didn't quite work, but you could then see what we were actually trying to do. And then we actually, I think, just gave Southampton so many problems. I thought it was really good. And so I'm very much on the disappointed we lost, disappointed for the away fans who were magnificent. You hear them all game. Even when we were like 2-1 down, where it was the only one singing, right? But there was so much good. Yeah, some awful stuff. We lost that game because we went 2-0 down in the first 15 minutes. We were just trying to work out what we said. And I think your point is really well made. I hadn't considered that. But we finished, yeah. When would we have got home from Ipswich on Wednesday? It would have been, what, Thursday morning? And then we've got to go down to Southampton. I suppose they go overnight, right? So he's changed the shape and had to do that. Not the wins we want, but I think you have to look beyond that a little bit and see where could this go. So, yeah, I'm very much in the, okay, let's announce it now, settle everything down. And I'd like to start Tom talking, to hear him talk about during pre-season, I can work with these players to do this. I can do that. I'd like to hear a little bit of that. Rajovic, when he came on, I don't know if it was criticism stuff, he was actually closing people down in a slightly better way than he had been before. He won the ball back in the corner, played a really clever pass, too clever inside, right? It could have opened up a third goal. And there's just snippets of bits and pieces going on I really enjoyed. And it was interesting because I got to speak to Jimmy Gilligan a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember which game it was, but just at the end of the game. And I was like, and he was just talking to him and just said, oh, are you enjoying this? And his answer was, I wouldn't say enjoyment is my main reaction, but it was like there's an intensity to the way they're going about it. I think that they really want this. They really want it. And I think that this could be massively interesting. And I agree with Charlie and other people who've said it. It's like, why even consider giving it to some unknown quantity when there's something interesting about this going on that's lifted us? And it's going to have to be a build, but yeah. So I don't know. So yeah. So I think I've had a good day overall. I really enjoyed it.
Very good.
Gutted at the end, but it's not the most important thing. Losing that game was not the end of the world. And to be honest, actually, could really fuck up Leicester. And I really do not want that.
There's John Grant, silver lining from a cloud.
At the end of these rainbows. So
yeah, well, I think the people who have said about Tom, and not in a negative way, but who've said wait and hang on and hold, are just on the basis of let's see as much evidence as we can before we make the decision. And there's another side, which is feeling that, as Charlie said, you're probably not going to want to take a backward step. He sure as hell isn't going to want to take a backward step if we appoint him. And obviously we all do know the idiosyncrasies of the Pozzo era has been the propensity to seemingly have made a good decision managerially and then gone, no, we're changing our mind there. And that would then mean Tom is out of the club and a lot of people got a lot of time for him. And wherever you are on that scale between, yes, we want him, no, we're not sure, or we don't definitely don't want him to lose his place at the club because he's doing a good job for continuity and he's a club legend in that respect. I don't think anybody has been anything less than impressed with what he has done. People can critique it. People can have opinions and comments about it. This is where they come to give those critiques. Absolutely, absolutely. Lovely stuff, John. Thank you very much indeed.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.